Are Greece and Germany refighting World War II?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The Greek debt crisis has been unfolding for weeks. Now a new word has entered the debate, Nazis. Here to explain is the Financial Times chief correspondent for Germany, Quentin Peel. He joins us live. Good morning.
Hello.
Why is World War II coming into this picture?
I think it's a hoary old chestnut, and I think that's certainly the reaction they're going to get in Germany. Oh no, they're going on about the war again.
What
it's
about the war?
It's not exactly a way that the Greeks are going to make friends.
Mm-hmm. What are Greeks saying about the war?
Oh, they say that Germany never paid them reparations, at least for taking all the gold and foreign currency reserves out of the central bank. Truth is, the Germans claim they've paid well over 4 billion euros, or the equivalent, in reparations over the years. And not only that, they've been pouring money into the Greek economy, because Germany, of course, is the biggest net contributor to the European Union budget. So Greece has had billions of euros over the years, and it hasn't used that money very wisely.
So what is the big picture here, Quentin, on the Greek debt crisis and the talk of bailout? Where do things stand?
The truth is that the rest of the European Union is adamant that the Greeks have got to do their homework first. They've got to put their house in order, get their budget spending under control, and actually start the reform of the economy they should have done years ago. Having said that, the Greeks and the Germans, I think, know in their heart of hearts that they are going to have to put some money together to bail out Greece before it actually defaults on any of its debt.
Quentin,
and I think
Peel,
that very secretly the talks are going on.
Thank you so much, Quentin. That's our time. We appreciate it. Quentin Peel there at the Financial Times. European stocks are showing some optimism this morning. They're almost 1% higher now. The British government confirmed today the UK did grow out of recession last quarter. Asian shares were 0.5% higher. Yesterday, the U.S. learned of that jump in unemployment claims, and the Dow fell 53 points to 10,321. We relearned the importance of vaccine supply last year with the H1N1 scare. The global market for vaccines is expected to soon top $30 billion, and now a new technology could change this fast-growing market entirely. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has that.
Epidemics and the threat of bioterrorism have drug companies and governments pouring money into vaccine research. This week, the Department of Defense announced it's backing a plan to grow vaccines on a type of tobacco plant, not the kind you smoke. Brett Girouard is a doctor and vaccine expert at Texas A&M University.
Plants are very good at making a lot of vaccine very, very rapidly. Plants have the promise to cut months off the vaccine development timeline, and also to be able to do it much more cost-effectively.
Now, most vaccines are grown in chicken eggs, which takes a lot of time and costs a lot of money. Barry Holtz is the president of GCON, which developed a technique for growing vaccines on tobacco plants.
But what it's going to mean is that we're going to be able to respond much more quickly to pandemic or bioterrorism event or other things that would require a vaccine.
Holtz says they're moving fast, but the technology is at least a few years away from market. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. And by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals at Vanguard.com.
Congress is debating Wall Street regulations, but what about self-regulation? Business ethics is a hot topic in business schools these days. In the first part of a three-part series on young people and Wall Street, Youth Radio sent us this audio postcard from a meeting of the NYU Stern School of Business Ethics Society.
My name is Janice Shea, and I'm currently the co-president of Stern Business Ethics Society. I had this marketing internship my freshman year, and I was doing the bookkeeping for them, and I saw a lot of things they were doing in terms of expenses, just the executives of the company having dinners, but they counted it as a company expense. So obviously I didn't think that was very ethical, But at the same time, I was a freshman, and I didn't have much power, and I was just an intern.
Oh, yeah, can we talk about our budget?
You have to get into something.
Is that bad or good? I can't do that.
Well, I'm Terrence DeBilly. I'm a senior here at NYU Stern. I study economics and management with a specialization in entrepreneurship. On my spare time, I guess, I run my own company. Our company, we actually had a product that we had to deliver to a client, but we found out that it was defective really late in the process. If we did tell them there was a problem with it, since they were in a tight time schedule, we would suffer a big penalty, and I think it was $2,000 a day. In the end, we decided to fess up, and the company gave us an extension to finish the project, so we weren't charged a penalty, and we were able to correct the problem. And when I brought this case study to the Stern Business Ethics Society, they kind of chose the same thing. Though some kids were kind of sketchy about it, they said they would hide the fact.
But Lulu did discuss WorldCom, and then she had that. She had choice A, choice B. What would you choose? And with our club, if we're telling them these situations, hopefully they learn lessons from that, and they don't do that in the future, because they are the next generation. And when in the future, if they encounter any ethical dilemmas, they'll think, this is what happened with Bernie Madoff. This is what happened with Enron. Hopefully that resonates in their minds when they go out in the workplace.
Youth Radio produced that piece. The series continues tonight on Marketplace and this weekend on Marketplace Money. Now here's the week in business in 60 seconds. This is the Marketplace Minute. It was bleak this week to hear Bernanke speak of the unique weakness that hasn't peaked, but the market likes the no rate hikes. In Europe, yikes. Airline strikes, protests in Greece threaten the peace, police increasingly fret over the threat of the debt, and don't forget, we have yet to ascertain the pain that remains in Spain. Home Depot shows their dough grows, so does Lowe's. Heinz, though, says their sales flow is thick and slow. Akio Toyota says, my bad, he looks sad. Lawmakers had to add that they're mad. Gas is forecast to rise fast this summer. Who wants to buy a Hummer? Nobody? Bummer. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.